You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Good morning. Good morning. You can remain standing. I'm going to ask that you join in with me as we look at our key text this morning, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into what God has for us. I got 45 minutes, I see. And so I'm going to do diligence. The Lord is really growing me and challenging me to really, and I'm going to say this with the passing of Dr. Miles Monroe. One of the things he emphasized is going to the grave empty. And that really challenged me because a lot of times for me, when I minister, some of the things that the Lord would have me to share gets lost in some of the energy. And so I'm challenged this morning to make this deposit. Amen. So as I get into this, we're going to just move forward and going to flow. So let's read our key text this morning and I'll pray and we're going to move forward. The first key text we're going to look at is John 16:33. Let's read it together. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You can go to the next one. But other side note, right there when he said be of good cheer, if you do the reference, it's the same thing that God told Joshua when he was possessing the land. He said, be of good courage. So Jesus was saying the same really charge, be of good courage. I have overcome. So he was charging us that we could be of good good courage, even as God commanded Joshua as they was going to possess the promised land. 1 John 5:4. Let's read it together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence. Have your way in this house today is our prayer, God. We're thankful for the living word of God this morning. We're thankful that the entrance of your word gives light. We thank you that faith comes from hearing your word. So, Father, we pray that you would bless this time as we fellowship around your word this morning. God, stir us in our hearts this day. Don't let a soul leave this house discouraged. But, Lord, may we leave this place awakened and alive to what you're going to do in our lives and in this time, in this season. God, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask this and we pray. And everyone that is in agreement said amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. Let me thank Pastor this morning for just the encouragement and just for just allowing us to grow. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate this opportunity. As he said, he called me and I really felt in my spirit. I didn't have a sense that God was had a word for me, but come to find out, and as the time progressed, we lost a loved one, and actually the funeral was yesterday, and so but God allowed us to go up there and be with the family, and so I was still able to make this appointment. But one of the things God showed me was that was a connection where I thought it was just not having a word. He saw something down the line that I didn't know was going to take place, but God wanted this to happen, and I wanted to honor the man of God. When he asked me, and I appreciate everyone that is coming up here, because it's a part of the growth process. So let me get into this morning. We're going to take for a topic today 3 keys to walking in victory. And let me just say this as I get into this. About 3 months ago, I was before the Lord and just really had taken a look. How many have ever taken that look where you look at everything around you and you really begin to see what's not where it should be and what hasn't happened? and all these different things that you're believing God for, but it hasn't come into manifestation. And so I always encourage my wife, when you take that look, be careful, because you can come into a place of discouragement, because things can look dim. Amen. So it was one of those times. And so out of that, and I was really asking God, what is it that's necessary for me to go to the next level and to continue to go forward in the purpose that you've called me to? And so I was playing with the thought of leadership, but God says, no, you need to get your faith up, because the things that are going to happen to you, you're not going to be able to respond in your own strength. Since that time, I began to go back and do just some basic studying of some fundamental elements of faith. But what preceded that, within the last 3 months, we've experienced 3 deaths in our family simultaneously. Just one was murdered, one was poisoned, and another was injured in a fatal car accident. And not to mention the host of just everyday challenges of life. So, but here's the thing. Everything that was happening was demanding an answer. I had to respond. And so the word of the Lord, I'm running in that word, because the Lord has said, get your faith up. And so what I will share this morning, it was born out of that time of really laying before God, because as these things began to happen, it was some specific things that God was encouraging me in to really labor in to maintain what I'm calling victory. See, victory, when we talk about victory, let me get to this. The Lord gave me this as I was just preparing this, and I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to get into this. But he says, Christ has given the church victory in every area of life. It's by faith in Christ's finished work that believers receive and walk in this victory. The key text we talked about was where Christ said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. And so it's faith in what Christ did that we come into the confidence that as he overcame, we are overcomers as well. But he said, when believers walk in this victory, God's purpose, Brother Chris was saying that, for their lives is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is advanced. So I want to say this, because it was like 2 levels. Your purpose is a personal victory. When you walk in your purpose, it's a personal victory for your life in regards to what God has called you to do. Now, when the kingdom is advanced, we're talking about a corporate victory. Excuse me, a corporate anointing. And so we got personal victory preceding corporate victory. The Lord was just showing me it's going to be crucial as we move forward, that everybody, we really encourage the body to get into a place of personal victory. And I believe some of the things that have been shared from this pulpit is really, Lord. Some of the things that have been shared from the pulpit is to bring us to this place where each individual, this is what the Lord showed me in this too, is that how many know our pastors, they are walking in a victory. They're having success through all the, can I say it? I'll just say difficulties that come their way, whether ministry, personal, business, yet they continue to operate in their purpose, their assignment. They're not shaken or moved. Now, They can walk in victory all day long. But if it's enough in the congregation that haven't tapped into that victory in their own personal life, we'll never experience the corporate victory that God is calling this house to. And so it becomes vital that that's what's making this message relevant and significant this morning, is that each of us, God has given victory to. It may not be the same as their victory, but your mentality should still be a mindset of victory. And so the Lord is saying, as we move into this next season, and I'm thinking 2015, if we're going to move into this, a few months ago, the Lord was talking about this corporate praise. He's trying to get us there. He's trying to get this house to a place of corporate victory. But it's going to take personal victory first. See, this is not just in the church. It's also, I'm finding it, in our homes. You may have the man of God or the woman of God in the house walking in victory. But because others in the house are not, they can't experience the corporate victory. You see what I'm saying? So you got this dynamic where the victory that God has given is being negated because it's unbalanced. You actually got more people with a mindset of defeat than people that have a mindset of victory. So that's kind of where I'm coming from this morning. Now I'm going to get into this a little bit. This is just some of the things that just was out of my heart. So I'm just going to kind of run through them. And as the Lord provokes me, I'll say something. But, and I said this, I'll just go through them. But God, through Christ, has given believers victory in this life. Walking in victory is living life from a strong conviction that because Christ overcame this world, by faith in Christ, I am a world overcomer. Somebody shout, I am a world overcomer. It's also a strong belief, watch this, that I'm loved by God. Come on, you got to know that. Say that. God loves me. You can get healed right there this morning. God, say it. God loves me. Why is that important? Because the love of God constrains us. God loves me. Secondly, it's a belief that I'm called. Somebody shout, I'm called of God. Not only do God love me, but I'm called. Shout, okay, it's a strong belief that I'm made righteous. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, it's a strong belief that my mind is being renewed by the living word of God. That's important. Because in your own intellect, you're not going to have the success that God would want you to have. It's only by the word. And it's through that renewing of the mind process. Somebody shout, God, renew my mind. And here's the other belief. This strong conviction. When I say conviction, when you look at the word faith, it actually will say conviction. And that's what the apostles and the great men of God, it was this conviction. How many is experiencing that great conviction where God just won't let you go? You would like to think that it's you holding on to God, but God is holding on to you. He will not let you go. Through all the bumps and grinds in the flesh, you're saying, but God, He's got you. He will not let you go. I felt that. Somebody needed that. God is not going to let you go. Whoever need that. Because sometimes you wonder. But it's out of this conviction, come on, that we can join the apostles in saying, if God be for me, who can be against me? out of this conviction. Come on, join me if you know some of these. I'm gonna walk through a few. Greater, come on, is he that is in me than what? Than he that's in this world. That's coming out of that conviction. Here's another one. Come on. I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Here's another one. But my God shall, come on, y'all, come on, come strong with that one. But my God shall supply all. Yeah, y'all got the victory. You got it. Here's the last one. And we know that, there it is, all things work together for the good. You got to know that you're called. You got to know it. Today we will revisit three, maybe two, depending on my time, areas for walking in victory. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:3, he said that it was right to stir. That word stir is to wake up and to render active. You, he says, by putting you in remembrance of the word of God, of what he's already said. So my prayer this morning is that we are stirred up in this house today. Come on. My prayer is that we're rendered active, aroused. It suggests to be aroused out of sleep. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Look at your other neighbor and say, wake up. And I'm not talking about a physical sleep. I'm talking about wake up in your purpose. Wake up in your victory. Somebody's shouting. I'll take it. Okay, let's get into this. Our first key we want to look at is an undivided heart. This is interesting because when Pastor asked me to minister, it wasn't but like 15 minutes. I'm going into the truck stop, and the Lord just dropped this. And so a lot of times for me, when I get a word, I try to stay as close as to what I felt in my spirit. And it's you know, and so the interesting thing about the undivided heart is the scripture that the Lord gave me was James chapter 1 and verse 8, which goes straight to the double-minded man. You want to bring that up, Pastor? But James 1 and 8 says, but you can't do that. So let me do this. Back it up. Let's go to 5, and we'll just key in on 8. Go to 5, and then we'll work down to 8. There we go. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, as I spoke about that word of the Lord that came to me preceding the deaths in our family, part of getting my faith up is how I can explain what was in my heart that God had spoke to me, was this aspect of being double-minded. And so I want to just kind of deal with that and really trying to get out, if I can, what God has shown me about this double-mindedness, because it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. When you look at that, when you look at the definition, it's the strong says two-spirited. It says it's vacillating in opinion and purpose. You're going back and forth. But see, the danger is that as we saw in verse 5, and it's when we are in the midst of the testings and the trials, and these things that are happening that are demanding answers, we need the wisdom of God. You and I, we need the wisdom of God in those times. But if you're vacillating in your opinion and your purpose, the scripture is clear that you're not going to receive that wisdom, which is a major problem. Listen, if we don't get the necessary wisdom in our times of our trials, it will lead to frustration. It will open the door to the enemy, because you're going to mishandle that situation. And when you mishandle it, the devil is going to come right behind and say, you see there's nothing to this God thing. You're wasting your time. But no, you didn't waste your time. You're vacillating in between your purpose, and you're allowing the opinions to interrupt and disrupt your receiving from heaven. So it becomes crucial to get this heart. When I say, and that's what he gave me, he said, you're going to have to keep your heart undivided. God has always required wholehearted worship. That's why a lot of times when we come in and we praise and worship and we exhort from here, we're trying to pull the people into that place of total wholehearted worship. But that experience should go home too. This is just training ground, but the example is, this is how you do it. But it's this, God has always required wholehearted worship. And here's another thing. Double-mindedness has always been a problem for the people of God. When you go back, I looked at, and I won't go there, but in 1 Kings, Elijah challenged the people. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions on Mount Carmel? The people of God had, most of the time when the children of Israel would go into a place of defeat or captivity, it was because of idol worship or being divided in their loyalty to him. Why is that? James makes it clear. You can't receive God's best. You can't receive necessary wisdom that's needed in these times of challenge. God has wisdom. God has made his wisdom available to us. You ever thought about that? God wants us to be victorious. See, the devil, let me say this. The devil is a lie. Where's Sister Karen? The devil, somebody say that. The devil is a lie. If God didn't want us to be victorious, why would he make wisdom available? Why would he give it? Because the preceding verses talks about going through trials. Then he goes on to say, but if any lack in this trial, ask. So why would he suggest that I'm going to help you through this if he didn't want to do it? That's why you got to, it's a passage that says, let God be true. Come on. And every man a lie. And sometimes you got to say, even if it's me. Even if it's me. When it comes to this word, God is true. So this wisdom he has made available to us. He wants us to overcome the tests and trials we face. It's by faith that we receive God's provision. It's that conviction. It's that conviction. If anything, that's what I would want to stir this morning. Help me, Holy Ghost. Is to stir a conviction in this house that you know, that you know, that you know that God is for you. Somebody shout, I know it! The double-minded state, I already said this, but this is in my notes, leads to frustration because we fail to receive from God in the time of need. And here it is. An undivided heart is key in our relationship with God and for walking in victory. As we wholeheartedly worship God, it takes me into my next point, our next key, is God is pleased. How many want to please God? That's an aspect of it. Lord, I want to please you. See, because this heart, a lot of times, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to move to the next point, but the enemy, through real life experiences, his desire is to establish opinions that oppose the word of God. Do you know what opinion is? An opinion is a belief that a person has formed about a particular topic. So, I need to say this. Some may say, I'm not wavering. I'm not double. But listen, just because you've settled in the area of salvation, there's a whole lot of areas that the Word of God covers. You can't afford to vacillate in any of them. So you can't say, I believe that I'm saved, but when it comes to tithing, I don't know about that. See what I'm saying? You can't say, I believe. Come on, God, give me some examples. But it's this. In every given topic, you got to check, am I vacillating here? Because let me tell you this, wherever you're vacillating, that's where the enemy is going to come. Because he knows that you're weak right there. You don't think the enemy knows you? You don't think the enemy knows you? Peter said he's like a roaring lion. I study lions, and Pastor, lions are no joke. They bout about it. That's old, but you know what I'm saying? They're serious about what they're doing, and the devil is too. He studies, and he's watching you, and so it's this dynamic where I gotta examine. Paul actually said, let every man examine himself, huh? Come off the top. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's what I need. That. But this vacillating, we have to get to a place. I'm back up there, Pastor. I went right back. But so it's this dynamic of whole, undivided. An undivided heart. I'll say this and I'll move on. David said, what did he say? He said, what? Created me. A clean, what? And then what did he say? Renew, what? Right spirit in me. David knew. It's going to take wholehearted worship for me to be successful. That takes us to our next point. 18 minutes. We're going to go to two points today. I might touch on the third one and just say it. But the next key is meditating on God's word. During this time that I was, and like I said, these things are coming out of areas that God just was ministering to me as we were as life was asking these demands of us. And so he dealt with me on the area of being undivided and making sure that I wasn't vacillating in my purpose. And then he took me to a place where he says, okay, I know you get in the word, but do you meditate? I know that you read the word, but do you meditate? There's a difference. And he's taken me to a place in meditating on the word that I've never experienced. Joshua, let's turn there. Joshua 1 and 8. Glory to God. Are we doing okay this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, let's just do a praise break. Come on. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your word. Come on. We thank you for your word this morning. Come on. We thank you for your word, because that was kind of heavy. But so let's take a little praise, because we're going into it again. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We will worship you wholeheartedly, Lord. We will serve you with our whole hearts. Hallelujah. Create in us a clean heart, God. Renew the right spirit within us. Glory to God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. Somebody say meditate in it. What? Day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditating day and night on the Word of God was part of the process of possessing the promised land. God had given them the land, but meditating in that word was a part of the process. God, through Christ, has given us victory. And I'm going to say this, but meditating on the word of God is a part of that process. So he says, he instructs Joshua to meditate day and night. And I asked the Lord to help me just be as practical in this as I can. Can you bring me that? So I just want to show you some things that for me, when I talk about meditating, these are some things that I took just the recognizing, and this all came out of this last 3 months, but really understanding. Just really understanding the need to meditate on the Word of God. And this is one of the things I did. I went through and I got promise scriptures. And I made my own index cards. And I actually carry these around. I mean, sometimes they're in my pocket, people don't even know. But it's that handy. I could do that. So that's one thing I did. See, because we're living in a season where, well, the command has always been this. It's not even got nothing to do with the season. It's always been this for success. And I'm holding up the cards, but what I'm saying is the meditating, it never changed. God doesn't change. Just because it's in the Old Testament, God is immutable, it says. He does not change. But this is a practical way, because some people, and the reason why I wanted to be practical is because how many struggle with the word? I mean, don't raise your hand. Because because honestly, discipleship, I'm challenged by it these days. Discipleship, when I say discipleship, I'm talking about the transference of knowledge and information from one vessel to another. The word of God, that is, that knowledge. Discipleship in this hour is challenging. And can I get any teacher, any mentor to say amen right there? Anybody who's dealing with people, you're recognizing that the things that I'm sharing They're not transferring. So here's the practical side. Because people are challenged. I'm busy. You really are busy. Listen, I got some index cards, and you can see. If you want to see these, you can get with me afterward, and I'll love to show you. Another thing I did to just really continue to meditate, to make sure that I was in a position to meditate on God's word. Because listen, how many have experienced tests or trials where your normalcy of routine was disrupted? You were studying every day at 5 a.m., but life happened, and so now that's blotted out. And so when that got blotted out, so did your prayer time, so did your word time. And so here's another thing I did. I got promise scriptures in my folder. I actually keep this backpack most of the time with me. Here's another way. I'm meditating, and I'm just soaking myself in the word of God. Another thing, I'm not going to bring it out. I just wanted to kind of just show some practicality to this, because I actually got an old Samsung that I turned into an MP3 player. Got a 32 gigabyte card. Got about 5 translations of audio Bible, tons of sermons, tons of Bible overviews, tons of promise scriptures, affirmations, just things that you can continue to keep your word. And here's the reason for this. As the enemy comes and attacks, you can never stop meditating. I kid you not. There's grace in there. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to take out the aspect of grace. But Peter said through knowledge that we partake of the divine nature. See, the divine nature, when you talk about nature, you're talking about things that are natural. Why do we struggle with Christian things that are natural for Christians? Like forgiveness, like love. That stuff is natural. But because we're not meditating in the word, we're not able to partake in it. And it's because life continues to come and create opinions in our hearts, which is those beliefs on different topics. Whatever we meditate on becomes dominant in our life. So if you're worrying today, I encourage you, get in a place where you're meditating on God's word. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word. When God's word is dominant in our lives, we say and do God things. When God's word is dominant in our lives, we say and do God things. And that's a part of that divine nature. Do you not know it's if we really partook, we were really partaking of Christ, we would be praying for people in the general public. Christ did it. It was natural for him. It was natural for him to be in a marketplace. And if somebody needed prayer, you could get it. Or, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There was things that was natural. Praying for people. Loving people. Forgiving people. These things are natural. And we only partake of it through meditating in God's word, because it's through that knowledge. And knowledge the knowledge we may have had today is not necessarily going to sustain you tomorrow to the level you want to live. And I close with this. I'm going to actually just touch on the third key. So my first key was an undivided heart. The second key was meditating on God's word. And the third key that the Lord ministered to me through this time was the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It was the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Did I give you guys that scripture? We're going to go back to the book of John. Let me pull it up. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. John 16:13. Can you bring that one up for me? Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Come on. Let's give God some praise in this house. Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you for your word, God. Lord, continue to just have your way in our midst.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.